it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Story here. Dana found this one. It's obviously an op-ed of some fashion, or personal story, I guess. My husband is the middle of five siblings.
Mm-hmm.
The three oldest were high achievers who earned advanced degrees. They're now comfortably retired, living far from their hometown. The fourth, a brother, has struggled all of his life. After 4 years in the Army, he drifted between unemployment and low-paying jobs, never able to support himself. His parents covered his expenses or let him live with them, even paying for his car while he worked as a pizza delivery driver. He also developed substance abuse problems. After my husband's father died, the brother stayed in the family home, supposedly caring for his mother, but in fact exploiting her. He drained her accounts to feed his habit, neglected her care, and after her death, he was convicted of elder abuse, something his out-of-town siblings had not realized was happening. Before she died, their mother begged them not to let him be homeless.
Because deathbed request.
Mm-hmm. Because the brother could not maintain the house, the siblings sold it, and they split the proceeds. With his share, they bought him a mobile home, placed funds in a protected account, which covered rent and utilities for nearly 10 years until the money ran out. They eventually transferred the bills into his name and explained to him how to manage those bills. He rarely communicates with the family except when he's in trouble. And once on his own, chaos followed. He claimed that his pizza delivery job was enough to live on, but he missed the rent, faced eviction, squandered money on predatory car loans and endless repairs.
So this guy's about to lose his trailer, everything in it. They have helped Scott again and again and again. And she says toward the end, sometimes you just can't do enough. Sometimes people don't want the hand up.
And she says, at what point do we stop trying?
Yes.
Are we obliged to sustain someone who refuses to sustain themselves?
That is the question, but you throw in the deathbed request. A mother said to four of the five siblings, when I am gone, take care of your brother.
Don't let him become homeless.
So what does that mean? Does that mean you have to pay all of his bills? For how long? Does that mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
where does it stop?
And I know there are people that are screaming in their cars right now. We have been through this. How do you help, but also extract yourself out of that
situation?
Plus the deathbed thing, that makes it awkward.
Jennifer in KCK. Jennifer, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi. Yes. Love the show.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment about the bed or something like that you were talking about.
Yes, please.
My sister and I do not have a deathbed request from our parents, but my youngest brother, who is only 2 years old, younger than me, I'm sorry, has been incarcerated for years, and he's finally coming out of it next year. And the problem that we've had, my sister and I both have had, is our parents continuously bail him out of all the trouble that he's in. And probably 3-4 years ago, he went back into being incarcerated. I literally had to put my foot down in front of our parents and announce a few choice words in my putting my foot down situation. And this was after I found out that my mother had cashed in one of her 401ks to bail him out.
Oh.
My brother is 42 years old.
Oof.
And it's taken this long, because he started getting in trouble when he was like 13, 14 years old. It's taken this long, which was a good chunk of his life, obviously, to realize I can't keep doing this.
Can I ask, and you don't have to, you can tell me it's none of my business and you'd be absolutely right. Can I ask what your brother is currently incarcerated for?
Drugs and no identification.
Okay.
And what happens next year when he gets out of prison? What is the family going to do, if I may ask?
Well, our goal is to really, like, put him back in therapy, and all of us in therapy, unfortunately. But the goal is to get him to move to Tennessee, where my mother lives, and for him to work as a welder with my uncle.
And get out, get away from old friends and old...
change your playmates, change your playground.
Yep.
Completely change everything. He has got to get away from Kansas City. And I'm the only one that lives here from my little family.
So Jennifer, you're like, for my sanity,
You have got to go.
Do you think he's willing to do that?
Yes. Okay. We've had to have, because of the many years he's been incarcerated, we've had to have family therapy.
Yeah. Jennifer, thank you for your honesty. And man, I wish you luck in a year. I really do.
All right. Thanks, guys, so much. Love you guys.
All right. Love you, too. Be well.
Listen to this sentence in the op-ed. My husband and his siblings want to honor their mother's plea to keep him housed, but contributing to his rent payments and repairing his trailer isn't financially sustainable any longer, and none of them want to take him in because he is horrible to live with.
And some people, sadly, and it pains me to say this, but it's true. Some people are beyond help. No matter what you do, no matter how much you spend, no matter how hard you try, you just can't fix broken. I'm not saying that every person who is broken is beyond being fixed.
Or can't turn it around.
Far from it. Far from it. I have seen so many people turn their lives around. But some people just can't be fixed.
Jennifer, thank you for the call and good luck next year.
Who's coming up next hour?
Oh, I cannot wait. One of our favorites, Pastor Adam Hamilton, will join us. People are turning to their phones and AI for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Are they finding God there? And is that a good thing or a bad thing? We could not have that conversation without him. Pastor Adam Hamilton will join us here in just a moment.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.